masculine hands splay across my stomach. Greedy hands palm my naked breasts as if not doing so would be a sin. Jake places my hand in his and lifts it to his mouth. He kisses the tip of every finger, burning me with those gray, green, blue eyes as he leads me to the one spot in the tub that isn't decorated with candles. The water is hot, but not unbearably so. I try to stifle a whimper as I submerge myself into the heavily oiled bath and find it impossible. My lower lip quivers slightly, and I breathe out a half-sob, half-moan. Even with my eyes closed, I'm aware of Jake standing next to me. I want to look, but looking is what got me here in the first place. The last thing I need is for my greedy vagina to override my brain once again. Jake's big body folds around mine. My hands rest on his powerful thighs as he settles behind me and leans me back against him. He dips a sponge into the water, then holds it over my breasts and squeezes it, wetting my chest before caressing the skin there. After he's done this several times and I'm borderline comatose, he threads his fingers through my hair and massages my scalp. I breathe through my nose, inhaling the scent of lavender into my lungs and feeling its soothing effect spread through my body. I don't even realize I've drifted off to sleep until I'm startled awake by those fingers that are no longer on my scalp, but instead skimming the tender lips of my pussy. "Relax," he soothes, dragging his nose along my hairline. "I love the way you smell." Did he say love? He said love. This is the second time. I said I'd wait until tomorrow. But I can't help it. I have to ask. "I'm making you fall in love with me, aren't I?" Jake's swagger doesn't scare easy, nor does he stop the pat of his finger from moving up and down my slit. But he is easily amused. The low, deep rumble of laughter against my back proves it. "How sore is your pussy?" "Really?" Talk about ruining a moment. "I didn't realize we were having a moment. Answer my question." "What question?" I ask only because I like the way my spine tingles when he says pussy. He must know. He does that low laugh again. Then he slides his finger between my lips and pushes the tip inside me. I'm swollen and tender and wet, and not just from the water. Lips at my ear, he whispers the question again. "How sore is your pussy, Penelope?" I want to say something sexy, or maybe something that will get me some sweet attention like my whimper, meow, snort, moan, moo, hiss got me this candlelit bath. But that hardening redwood tree at the small of my back dissuades me. "It's sore." "Hmm," he hums against my ear. "Deliciously sore?" "What? No. There's no such thing as deliciously sore when you're referring to a completely destroyed pussy." He groans and rocks his hips against me.
"Don't say pussy, Penelope."
"That's what you said when I called it a vagina."
"Well, hearing you say pussy makes me want to lift your pretty little ass on my lap and sink my cock into your sweet, swollen cunt."
"My sweet, swollen, destroyed cunt."
"For fuck's sake, woman."
"What? All I said was..."
"Don't. Stop talking. Just be quiet and be still, and I'll try to make this as painless as possible."
He lifts me onto his thighs, and I panic a little, grabbing the sides of the tub and trying to pull out of his embrace while mumbling a shaky, "No, Jake, stop. I can't."
"Easy, baby."
His words are so soft, laced with a tenderness and a hint of regret.
"I'm not trying to fuck you."
He kisses that same path from my shoulder to my neck that he tends to do a lot. And just like every other time, it melts me.
"I only want to finish what I started."
What the hell does that mean? I figure it out when he grabs the sponge
and slides it over my sex that is now only partially underwater. And he... Wow. Yeah. Most heroes treat their heroines to a warm towel after sex, or a t-shirt, or they leave them stickies so they'll smell like them, which is just fucking gross. But Jake Swagger? He's an overachiever. I got a bath, candles, scalp massage, and a friggin' vaginal cleansing. He's cleaning me in the most delicious, intimate way. Granted, it's probably more out of guilt for ravaging my pussy rather than the desire to be sweet. Why are you doing this?
Doing what?
I sweep my hand around the room, then down my body. This.
Taking care of you?
My heart skips and I can't speak, so I simply nod.
I'm doing this.
He mirrors my hand sweep motion.
Because I told you I'd take care of you. I'm a big man who's not gentle during sex. Never have been. I should have taken it slow with you. Been easy. Denied you even when you begged. But there's something about your wicked little body that makes me lose control.
He holds the sponge over my sex and squeezes it. The water feels like satin as it cascades over my bare slit, and his lips are just as soft when he trails them from my neck to shoulder.
I love how you take all of me, how you scream my name when you come, how sweet you taste. I can't resist you. I always expect you to deny me, but you never do. You let me take what I want. Trust I'll make it good for you. This is me not breaking that trust.
Oh my God, that is just beautiful. And of course I have to say something to fuck up the moment. I forgot to ask, but now that I'm thinking about it, you don't have any diseases, do you? Because you didn't wear a condom. And if I start itching in places I shouldn't itch, well, I mean, that's going to break my trust. He chuckles.
You really know how to ruin a moment.
I spin to face him, sloshing water over the side of the bathtub, but too excited to care. We were having a moment?
Not one I care to remember now that you've talked about itching. And to answer your question, no. I don't have any diseases.
He must think I'm about to say something else stupid, because he quickly changes the subject.
How about a toast?
He grabs two glasses from beside the bathtub, then hands me one with a wink.
Wine, because I know how much you love it.
I roll my eyes. You know I hate wine.
Humor me.
I sniff it like I know what I'm doing. It smells good, but I wrinkle my nose just to be a jerk. What are we toasting?
Whatever you want.
His eyes twinkle. I want to toast to love, to us, to marriage and kids and growing old together. But that seems a little heavy for this moment. Besides, I promised I'd wait and think about it tomorrow. So I smile, lift my glass, and toast the next best thing. To staying positive and testing negative. 27.
Aw, how sweet.
Jake grunts and I crack one eye open to see Cam sprawled across the foot of our bed smiling at us. I smile back because, well, because I'm fucking happy. Like, I didn't even know happiness until I knew Jake Swagger, who sits up suddenly and looks over me to make sure I'm covered from Cam's view. I warm all over.
How the hell did you get in here?
Jake grumbles, falling back on his pillow as he tightens his hold on me.
I have my ways. You mean you charmed the housekeeper into letting you in?
That's exactly what I mean. Cam tickles my feet and I kick them away from him, planting my heel into Jake's shin.
For fuck's sake, Cam, go away so we can get up.
You mean so Penelope can get up without me seeing her naked?
That's exactly what I mean.
Jake kicks his foot out, but before it makes contact with Cam's crotch, he moves and strides out of the room,
whistling some tune like he's the happiest person in the world. He's not. I am. I actually feel sorry for everyone who woke up this morning and wasn't me. Seriously, I feel sorry for you.
Sorry, baby.
Jake's lips on my naked shoulder have fireworks exploding in my chest and groin area. I turn and snuggle into him. He buries his nose in my curls and inhales.
Your hair smells so good.
You should smell my breath. I feel his smile.
So no good morning kiss, I presume.
Not a chance in hell. At least not until I brush my teeth. He pats my ass.
Well, go brush your teeth, gorgeous. I'll have Cam order room service.
I ease out of bed and pad to the bathroom. What's he doing here anyway? I call over my shoulder.
We have a 9 a.m. conference call with an overseas distributor.
Couldn't he do that from Chicago?
He could, but Cam never does anything the easy way.
I pause my brushing when he walks into the bathroom. He strokes his morning wood and winks at me. Then he graces me with a view of his toned ass as he walks to the toilet. He's peeing. I'm brushing my teeth. It should be weird, right? It isn't. Is he your assistant? Jake snorts.
Ask him.
I make a mental note to do that, then rinse my mouth, wash my face, wrap myself in the hotel's complimentary bathrobe that I think I'm going to steal. When I turn, Jake is there, framing my face with his hands, kissing my head, my lips. He pulls away and I'm thankful he didn't try to stick his tongue down my throat, because he hasn't brushed yet, and I have a weak stomach in the morning.
Everyone decent?
Cam doesn't wait for an answer as he pushes his way into the bathroom. He's not bothered by Jake's nakedness, but he does look a little disappointed that I'm fully covered.
I ordered breakfast, a little bit of everything. Wasn't sure what you liked.
Thanks. Are you Jake's assistant? He throws Jake a look that suggests he'd kill him if there weren't any witnesses. Jake only laughs. Neither answer the question. It's completely forgotten as Cam announces the time, and Jake curses beneath his breath and throws a towel around his waist. With a final kiss, this one a little deeper because now Jake is minty fresh, I leave them to their call and go in search of breakfast. I follow the scent of bacon until I come to a dining room with a table big enough to seat 8, and every inch of it is covered in food. I wonder how it got here so fast, but the thought is fleeting as I uncover steaming plates of pancakes, bacon, eggs, French toast, sausage, ham. I don't make it further than that. I don't bother with a plate either. I just eat straight from the platters. As I eat, I plan how I'm going to tell Jake I love him. By the time I'm full, I decide I'm just going to blurt it out and see what happens. In my head, it goes down like this. I tell Jake I love him. He says it back. We kiss. He drops to one knee, gives me the ring he bought right after he first met me and knew that he couldn't live without me. We skip a big wedding, drive to the courthouse, get married, and become the envy of every human on the planet. Perfect, right? I'm anxious, and I have a reception to plan. So I make my way back upstairs and pray that the conference call is over. Jake's voice can be heard the moment I reach the second floor landing. The sound of it, deep and rich with an undercurrent of authority, makes my heart pound faster. Feet feel lighter. Breath heavier. The call ends just as I make it to the partially closed door. But when Cam says my name, I stop. I eavesdrop, like I know I shouldn't, but just like anyone in my situation would.
And what about Penelope?
Through the crack in the door, I see Jake's shoulders rise and fall with a shrug.
What about her? You going to take her with you? To Africa?
Jake snorts. Penelope? In Africa? Fuck no.
Can you imagine the destruction she could do to a place like that?
I could do Africa. I like lions and shit.
Have you told her you're even going?
I mentioned it.
True. Jake, ever the philanthropist, plans to take his fancy sprinkler system to Africa. Not to sell, but to give so that villages there can more effectively grow crops. He told me this while lying in bed last night. He also said it was something he planned for the future. I assumed months from now, maybe even years. But Cam speaks as if Jake's leaving a lot sooner than that.
So, when you mentioned it, did the two of you talk about what would happen when you're away? Or what will happen when you get back? Are you going to stay in touch?
Jake lets out a laugh as he closes the file in his hand and tosses it on the bed next to Cam.
Who are you, my therapist? I'm your best friend, and I won't sit back and watch you throw something good away because you're too fucking stubborn to acknowledge it's worth it.
Fucking Cam. I love him.
Look, I like Penelope. Hell, I may even care about her. But there's this sinking feeling in my gut. This tightening in my chest. My knees are wobbly and my hands sweaty. I swallow the lump in my throat and wait for the rest of what Jake has to say. Something that, whatever it is, gives him pause.
Jake's phone chimes with an email notification. Cam snatches it from him and holds it out of reach.
But, he urges, demanding Jake give him an answer. For fuck's sake, Cam. I live in Chicago. She lives in nowhere, Mississippi. It is what it is. I mean, we can stay in touch. She can visit whenever she wants. We can have a good time, then go back to our lives. No strings attached.
Cam scoffs.
Do you fucking hear yourself? No strings attached? Come the fuck on. What? I'm not looking for a fairy tale, Cam. And to be honest, I'm not so sure Penelope is either. Casual is good for us. Fucking perfect. Think about it. Who wouldn't want a relationship like that?
Me. 28. Remember those 5 stages of grief my mother goes through when she calls me? Well, I think that shit is hereditary. Step 1. Denial. Jake never used the word casual. I obviously heard him wrong. Because if he thought of this as casual, he wouldn't have walked downstairs, where I'd escaped to after I heard what I clearly never heard, pinched my chin with his fingers, lifted my head, kissed my lips, then mouthed, "Beautiful." Other than the designer labels, there was nothing beautiful about my outfit. Boots, jeans, scarf, awesome-ass long-sleeved shirt with thumb holes, or my messy bun hair. And while my makeup was on point, I wouldn't call it beautiful. But God, I felt beautiful when he grabbed my hand, when he rubbed his thumb over my knuckles as we walked down 18 flights of stairs, when he kept his hand on my thigh the entire ride to the airport, when he moved it only to hold my hand again as he pulled me from the car, led me to the plane, tucked his phone between his shoulder and cheek, strapped me in, grazed my temple with his finger. Casual my ass. Step 2. Anger. Fuck Jake Swagger. Fuck him for thinking I can't handle Africa. Fuck him for referring to my hometown as nowhere, Mississippi. Fuck him and his no strings attached comment. Fuck him for assuming I don't want a fairy tale. And fuck him for ever mentioning the word casual. Step 3. Bargaining. God, please let this man love me, take me, marry me, and put his baby in me. Do that, and I promise I'll donate a bunch of his money to a charity once I gain access to his accounts. That's if he doesn't make me sign a prenup. So, God, don't let him make me sign a prenup. Step 4. Depression. That's the stage I'm experiencing right now. I glance up at Jake, who sits like a king in the captain's chair of his $60 million plane. He's dressed for business in his perfectly tailored dark gray suit. The only wrinkle on his body is the tiny one between his eyes. Ever the CEO as he pounds furiously on the keys of his laptop. The sight of him does crazy things to me. I feel like animals are doing shit in my belly. Butterflies flutter. Birds flap their wings. Fish swim. It's bottom lip biting, grin hiding good. Until I remember what he said. Then it feels as if I've been stabbed in the heart by one of those big Texas longhorns. I can't be his Miss Sims. I can't be his pretty woman. I can't come to Chicago when it's convenient for him, let him make love to me, fall deeper in love with him, then wake up alone in his big bed with a stack of cash and a note next to me telling me he'll be in touch. I move my eyes away from him and have to blink back tears. I take a couple deep breaths. Nothing helps. This emptiness. Fuck. I close my eyes against the pain. Will myself to move on to the next stage of grief. Acceptance. But how can I accept this when my heart refuses to let go of the greatest love it's ever known? How can I move forward when the only future I want is sitting right across from me? I ask myself these questions over and over as the plane lands, as we settle in the car waiting for us on the tarmac, as we drive through the busy city traffic, as Jake's hand stays firm in mine through the lobby of his apartment building and up stair after stair.
Penelope, did you hear me?
I tilt my head to look up at Jake, who has been on the phone since we landed. I'd tuned him out long ago. It was easy, considering the thoughts in my head were screaming too loud for me to pay attention to anything else.
Huh? I said I have to go to the office, but I'll be back in a couple hours.
It's then I realize we're in his apartment, in the kitchen. I'm holding a glass of wine, and my calves burn like a bitch.
Oh, yeah, sure, okay.
He frowns, takes a step toward me, does that fucking thing with his fingers in my temple.
You okay, baby?
I clear my throat and swallow my emotions.
Me? Yeah.
I swap my hand in the air and force a smile. I'm fine. Just tired from the flight. And the stairs. His smirk is as cocky as it is relieved.
Think you'll ever ride in an elevator again?
One day. Maybe.
You know, I could always buy a helicopter. There's a helipad on the roof.
A look of dread crosses his face.
Even though I hate those fucking things.
Then why would you buy one? He shoots me a look that suggests the answer is obvious.
For you, of course.
I melt like butter. There goes all my stages of grief progress.
You'd buy me a helicopter?
To keep from walking up all those stairs? Absolutely. Although, I'd have to find a song like your elevator song to keep me calm so I don't, what is it you say, lose my shit?
He winks. I open my mouth to ask him to marry me. His phone rings. I hate that motherfucking phone.
Yes, Sandra?
My eyes narrow and I whisper shout, who the fuck is Sandra?
Assistant, he mouths.
I thought Cam was his assistant. Or maybe I just assumed that? He tugs my hair until my head falls back, then dips to kiss the place where my neck meets my shoulder, before he walks away, chatting with this Sandra about important things that require big words that I don't understand. I will him to turn around, to ask me to go with him, to do something other than keep walking toward the door like I'm not even here. Because that sight, the one of him leaving, triggers something inside me. I don't like the empty feeling growing bigger and bigger as he gets further from me, or that voice in my head asking if this is what it will always be like. Him offering to buy me a helicopter, kissing my neck, making me swoon, then running off to his office, or Africa, expecting me to be here when he gets back. Because that's what happens in a casual relationship.
But what about me? What about what I want? What about my life? My dreams? My home? I have a life too, you know. I do things. They might not be as important as saving the world with a sprinkler system and shit, but still. Perhaps that's why I feel like I'm drowning. Because not once has he asked what I want. Every minute of every day we've spent together has been about him. His life. His career. Is my life that insignificant to him? Or does he just not give a damn? Jake? He pauses at the door, tells Sandra to hold on a minute before tilting the phone away from his ear to address me. Yeah, baby? Baby. Do you know who the Proclaimers are?
The band?
I nod. Yeah.
I've heard of them.
Well, you should listen to their Sunshine on Leith album. They have some songs I think you'd like. You know, for your helicopter fear.
I'll do that.
He winks and his lips curve into a smile. That smile. It's something to behold. Something to remember. To cherish. But it's the sound of the door closing behind him and the punch in the gut feeling at my core that brings me to this. Step 5. Acceptance. Our story could have been a romance novel. I mean, we had the makings of something great. I found my that guy. I fell in love. He did too. We had the chemistry, the build-up, the sex, the 60% mark where we found out why Jake was a dick. Then he redeemed himself. I had a damsel in distress moment. He did all that sweet shit like the hair tucking and the bath and the whispering of, shh, I got you. We danced, we dated, we laughed, we shared, we bonded. I swooned. He smirked. I fell. He caught. I wore his shirt. He dressed me in it. Yep. We had it all. Almost. Problem is, we're missing the best part. The motherfucking happily ever after. 29. He's never coming for me. He's never going to call. He doesn't love me. I fall across the bed next to Emily and bury my face in her shoulder. I need her to hold me. Instead, she pulls away and stands up. For crying out loud, Penelope, you've been home 3 hours. Chill out. I know Emily is annoyed with me. Hell, I'm annoyed with me. Running away without so much as a goodbye? That's typical heroine bullshit. And I pride myself on not being the typical heroine. But at the first chance I had, I ran. Now here I am, back home in Mississippi, sad because I miss Jake, and angry because he hasn't come begging for me back yet. What the hell is wrong with me? Millions of women would kill to be casual with a man like Jake Swagger. Me? No, I'm in love. Why do I think my heart is so important? Who cares if it gets crushed? Jake is good-looking, great in bed, rich, smart, fun, sweet. How many people are married to men who aren't even half that? Stupid heart. But right now isn't about me. It's about Emily, who needs to step up and be a best friend. And if that means lying or doing something extreme to make me feel better, then that's exactly what she needs to do. But when I tell her this, she rolls her eyes. What do you want, hmm? Me to fly to Chicago and set a bag of flaming dog shit on his porch? I don't even have to think about it. Yes. She leans against the dresser and narrows her gaze at me. Even after all these years, I still haven't gotten used to how creepy her crystal blue-gray eyes are when she squints like that. You know what you are, Penelope? A hypocrite. Shocked, I rise up to a sitting position. Hypocrite? Did you just call me a hypocrite? That's exactly what I called you. And stop with the stuttering theatrics. There's nobody here but us.
Bored, she takes a pull from her vape. She doesn't even vape. She's just doing it because it tastes like blueberries, and she claims it helps curb her appetite. She also claims she needs to lose 15 pounds, which is ridiculous. How am I a hip? I can't even say it. I cross my arms and look away from her. She breathes out an exasperated, overly dramatic, if you ask me, breath, and pulls her long black hair over one shoulder. You're mad at him for calling what the two of you had casual, but you never once told him you wanted more. You're mad because he didn't tell you he loved you, even though you never told him. And you're mad he hasn't come after you, yet you're the one who left without so much as a goodbye. I know these things. These things are the truth. I know that too. Doesn't mean I want to hear it. Fine. I grab my keys and my phone and push past her. So you're going back? No. I take the steps two at a time until I reach the garage. Then where are you going? I look up to find her leaning against the door of my apartment, fighting a smile, which solidifies my decision to do what I should have done when I first got home. To find a new best friend. I glance over at the empty carton of Blue Bell Dutch chocolate ice cream sitting on the coffee table and feel tears well in my eyes. I ate my new best friend. After I bought the ice cream, I came to my mom's house, which is literally in my front yard since I live in an apartment above her work shed in the backyard. I planned to pout and sniffle until she asked what was wrong. Then I was going to tell her everything as she held me and stroked my hair. She'd say all the right things. We'd watch a chick flick, and my tear-soaked ice cream would be the result of someone else's heartbreaking and not my own. Because my sweet mother would assure me that Jake would indeed come. Problem is, she wasn't home, so I was forced to eat ice cream soaked in my tears, shed over my own broken heart, all alone. God, I'm pathetic. And what do pathetic people do? They get in their best fat clothes, a size 3XL t-shirt and threadbare stretchy pants, eat junk food and watch Pretty Woman, all alone, curled up on their mom's couch feeling sorry for themselves. 90 minutes later. She rescues him right back. Oh, fuck off, Vivian. Nobody says that shit. I throw a Funyun at the TV, and when that doesn't make me feel better, I throw the entire bag. Whoa, kid, what did my TV ever do to you? My head jerks up from my crumb-covered pillow to find my mom smiling down at me. All the anger and envy I'd built up toward Vivian and her ability to get Edward to chase her vanishes as a deep sadness sweeps over me. Tears flood my eyes, and a choked sob escapes as I struggle to untangle my body from the covers and throw myself into my mother's arms. What's got you so upset, sweet girl? I cry harder at the sound of her voice. It's controlled, even, soothing and soft, yet strong enough to penetrate my cluttered thoughts. She smells like cookies and apples and everything wonderful. She smells like mom. Jake wants casual and I want more, and I left thinking he'd come for me and he hasn't. I swear I hear her chuckle, but when I pull back, I only see sympathy on her face. Did you tell him how you felt? I just stare at her. She sighs, smiles, smooths my hair out of my face, and dusts the crumbs from my shirt. Why don't you take a shower and I'll fry you something? I'm not hungry. I already filled up on Funyuns and beef jerky. I poke my lip out on a pout. And you smell like Funyuns and beef jerky, which is why I suggested the shower. Emily, who has been standing silent behind my mother, nods emphatically. She even goes so far as to scrunch her cute little button nose up and curl her lip in disgust. I'm surprised Emily and Mom aren't happier that I'm back. We all know they couldn't make it without me. Who would Mom cook for? Who would make Emily laugh when all she's done lately is cry? They should be doing everything in their power to make me hate Jake, cursing him, prank calling him, threatening his life on social media, or at the very least, starting a vicious rumor. I think I need to find new people to comfort me. These two are only interested in pointing out my flaws. I mean, every girl with a broken heart deserves to fall apart, especially one who holds these two together. Why can't they just let me stink for a while? Fine, I'll shower.
There's my girl, Mom says, at the same moment Emily mutters, thank God.
I give her the evil eye as I pass, and just because she looks perfect and maintained good hygiene during her breakup, I can't refrain from breathing my hot, onion jerky breath in her face. Instead of a shower, I took a bubble bath, but that sucked because all it did was remind me of Jake. So I cried. When I got out, I put on one of Jake's shirts and a pair of his underwear. Yes, I stole a pair of his underwear. But that sucked because it smelled like Jake and reminded me that he wasn't here. So I cried. I found my mom and Emily in the kitchen, laughing, frying dill pickles, dressed in matching aprons, flour on their noses and cheeks, like a happy fucking family. And it made me realize that maybe I wasn't needed around here as much as I thought. I felt like a third wheel in my own mother's home, and that made my walking out on Jake an even harder pill to swallow. So I cried. Ugly cried. That finally got me some attention, and soon I had my head in Mom's lap and my feet in Emily's while we sat on the couch and watched Jeopardy and ate pickles and pie and didn't get a single question right.
How we doing? Mom asks, her voice low as she rubs my hair. Fresh tears form in my eyes.
I think I made a mistake. The truth of those words hits me dead in my chest. My stomach twists. Heart falls to my knees. I'm so stupid.
You're not stupid, honey.
I twist my body to face her. Yes, I am. He was so perfect, Mom. Sweet and kind and funny and good in bed.
And rich, Emily adds. I nod.
And rich, like Christian Grey rich. Mom chooses to ignore the shallow rich comment.
So why did you leave?
Because I overheard him tell his friend that we were just casual, and that it was perfect, and that he didn't want more.
Did you talk to him about it?
No. I drop my eyes. I just left.
Penelope Lane, you sound like the typical heroine.
I know, I cry, throwing my hand over my eyes. What do I do now? I can't just call him or go back. That would be weird, and it would mess up my dream for him to do a that guy move and miss me so much he comes to get me. Knowing how much I need this, everyone agrees, even though I can see their need to tell me I'm being stupid in their eyes. Mom stands and pulls me from the couch.
You and Emily go out. Have a few drinks and see if you can't get your mind off of him.
I swipe the tears from my cheeks and nod so hard my neck hurts. Okay, that sounds fun.
I look to Emily, who shrugs. Sounds pretty typical heroine to me.
Whatever. 30.
Hiccup. Throat cleared. Eyes closed. Three count. Desperado. I suck in a breath after my killer opening, ready to amaze these people with my angelic voice that will no doubt have the angels in heaven green with envy and dreading the day I join their choir. But just as I'm about to belt out the next line, I hear a grumbled phrase from the crowd that is all too familiar. Oh, for fuck's sake! I scan the 800-square-foot karaoke bar to find the source of the male voice who used Jake's signature line and interrupted my song. The nearly bald, red-faced, overall-wearing big guy in the corner looks like the type to get pissed over just about anything, So, no surprise he's mad at me because I'm awesome. I motion to the guy running the karaoke machine to stop the song. When the music dies, I turn back to the man.
Excuse me, sir, but I'm kinda having a bad day.
Hiccup.
The man I love wants us to just be casual. So I'm a little sensitive right now, and I'm gonna need you to not be a dick, okay?
My speech earns me a room full of sympathetic faces, three shots of cheap whiskey, and a round of applause encouraging me to finish the song. So I let everyone feel sorry for me, drink the whiskey, and nod to the karaoke guy to restart Clint Black's rendition of Desperado. Deep breath, hiccup, eyes closed, three count.
Desperado. My fucking ears are bleeding. This mother. Sir!
Everyone flinches at the squeal of the mic when I rip it off the stand so I can face the douche canoe who clearly doesn't know a legend in the making when he hears one.
Would you kindly shut the hell up and let me have my moment?
Hiccup.
Sure, sugar. Have your moment. Just don't sing.
I glare at him.
Singing makes me feel better.
Makes us feel worse.
His weak-ass comeback earns a few chuckles from the crowd of 13. Laughing along with them, he turns to Emily, who sits alone at the bar.
Has she always been this bad of a singer?
She has.
Fucking Emily. Hiccup.
Can a girl have a broken heart? Please? Can I just sing like shit and drink cheap whiskey?
Hiccup.
And hiccup and not have to hear any of y'all's criticisms?
You can do anything you want on that stage, girl, as long as it ain't singing.
Another round of laughs. Another hiccup. Another raised glass to toast the suggestion of my silence. Even Emily lifts her green apple Smirnoff. What is she, a sophomore in high school?
So let me get this straight.
Hiccup.
I can't sing on karaoke night to help deal with what is possibly the worst day of my life. But I can do anything else? I guess if I took my clothes off for your pervy ass, that would be okay.
Red-faced asshole lifts his glass.
Hell yeah, it would.
That's not going to happen.
The bar falls silent. Every head turns. Panties disintegrate. Men wither. I hiccup. Jake Swagger is here, in a suit, staring at me so hard, so intensely, my knees go weak and I have to cling to the microphone stand to keep myself upright. He came. He came. Fuck, he looks good. So damn good. Play it cool. Play it cool. I cross my arms over my chest, lift my chin, and square my shoulders as I try not to crumble at the sight of those gray-blue-green eyes that level me through the cloud of smoke separating us.
Can I help you?
Maybe. I'm looking for a girl.
I can't keep the hope out of my voice.
You are?
I am. That damn smile of his. Her mother told me I could find her here.
Aw, thanks, Mom. Right. Well, maybe you should have tried calling her.
I have.
No, you haven't, I deadpan.
Yes, I have. Seems she forgot to pay her cell phone bill.
You gotta be shitting me.
No, I'm not shitting you.
Thoughts, be silent. Why are you looking for her?
Because she ran out on me earlier today without so much as a goodbye.
Typical heroine.
I shoot Emily a look of warning.
What? It's true.
I pull in a breath and stand a little taller as I address Jake once again.
Well, you must have done something,
hiccup,
for her to just up and leave like that.
You're right. Perhaps it was because I offered to buy her a helicopter.
Some drunk chick gasps. His eyes swing to hers, and he shrugs all sheepish and shit.
I know. Too much?
Hell nah, it ain't too much.
You can buy me a helicopter.
Everyone laughs. Even Jake chuckles. And I have to clear my throat to get the attention back on me. This is the Penelope show, damn it.
I doubt it was that.
Hiccup. Well, maybe it was because she eavesdropped on a conversation I had this morning with a friend of mine. Oh, shit.
Someone should tell her how rude that is,
the drunk chick offers. Jake nods. Oh, I agree. And if my memory serves me correctly, he glares at me. Someone already has. Hiccup.
Are you finished yet? If not, I'd like to get back to my song.
For the love of God, keep talking. Red-faced overalls asshole lifts up his praying hands to Jake. Whatever. So my friend asks what the deal is with this girl and me, and I tell him that our relationship is casual. A few murmurs from the women in the room have me wanting to fist bump the air. Luckily, a hiccup distracts me. Jake holds his hand up. Hang on, ladies. There's more to the story. You see, the only reason I said that was because I thought that's what she wanted.
It wasn't what she wanted, I snap, then quickly add, maybe, I'm guessing, I don't know. I mean, why would you think that?
Because she never said she wanted more. I snort.
Oh, so you just assumed without even bothering to ask her?
Well, this girl, he breathes out on a laugh and runs his hand through his hair. This girl is known for speaking her mind. She'll say just about anything. I've never had to wonder what she was thinking, because if it crossed her mind, it came out of her mouth, even when she didn't intend for it to. He grins at me. Sound familiar? The air between the two of us starts to suffocate me. I want to end this bullshit banter, jump off this crappy little stage, and launch myself into Jake's arms. I want him to hold me and kiss me and tell me he loves me. But even though I understand why he said what he said, and even though he's here, a part of me still wonders if it's possible for this guy, my very own that guy, to love me.
Why did you run, Penelope?
The entire room holds their breath as they wait for my answer. I consider lying, but my walls are crumbling. I'm exhausted and drunk and stiff from trying to hold my posture. I let my shoulders slump forward and hold on to the mic stand.
I can't do casual, Jake.
A weight I didn't realize I was carrying lifts from my shoulders.
So tell me what you want.
He says it so simply, but it's not that simple. I don't know.
Yes, you do. What do you want, Penelope? What do you want? What do you want?
Okay, now I see why he found that scene so annoying. He asks me again, and I lose my shit and half scream, half sob.
I want the song!
His head tilts slightly as he studies me.
Your elevator song?
Hiccup, sniff, snort, deep breath.
Yes, I want a guy who will walk 500 miles for me.
I've walked 500 miles 5 times over going up and down those fucking stairs with you.
Truth.
Well, I also want a guy who will wake up with me every day. And some of those days may not be in his penthouse apartment overlooking Chicago. They might be in nowhere, Mississippi, in a one-bedroom apartment, above a workshop, overlooking my mom's backyard.
He shrugs. Done. It can't be that easy.
We live 1,000 miles apart.
We'll figure it out.
I'm not always going to want to go to your business meetings to win you clients.
I'm grasping at straws here. He smiles.
Then you can just go for the alcohol.
You don't even know anything about me.
I know everything about you. Background check, remember?
Shit.
I know nothing about you.
He lifts a brow. Hiccup.
What are you so scared of, Penelope?
Fuck it.
I don't want to love someone more than they love me.
Not possible.
I'm not easy to love, Jake.
His deep rumble of laughter can be felt in my toes. Then, in a voice as equally sincere as his gaze, he tells me a truth that rocks my damn soul.
Loving you is the easiest thing I've ever done.
Oh, my God. If this were a book, that would be the most highlighted line in it.
I love you, Penelope Lanehart. You're my that girl.
I'm not sure how long I've been standing here swooning, just feeling my ovaries explode inside me and my heart swell to the point of bursting. But it's long enough for Jake to grow annoyed.
For fuck's sake, Penelope, are you going to say it back or not?
Oh, yeah, right, Isla... Hiccup. Shit, let me start again.
And as easy as I breathe, I tell him,
I love you too, Jake Swagger.
He smiles, like God just granted him the greatest gift in the world. Well, I mean, he kinda did.
Get your ass down here and kiss me.
I do, nearly break my neck in the process, but he catches me, because that's what he does. Then he kisses me, and it's just like all our kisses, hot, sweet, toe-curling perfection. I've missed him. I love him. He knows it. And guess what? He loves me too. Jake dips his head and places his mouth at my ear so he can be heard over the cheering bar crowd.
So what happened after he climbed up the tower and rescued her?
This motherfucker. I'm not Vivian. He's not Edward. This isn't Pretty Woman. This is a story about a writer who found her muse. Heard that guy. Who ended up falling in love. Running from love. And, of course, trusting that love would come chasing after her. Totally cliché. And every bit as real as any story can be. But our story doesn't end with the words, and they lived happily ever after. And it sure as shit doesn't end with some lame-ass line about how she rescues him right back. Matter of fact, there are no words at all. Because words can't express the love and shit we feel between us. So I pull away and give my that guy what he wants. The beginning of our future and the ending of this story in true Penelope fashion. Finger snap, finger guns, river dance.
Epilogue. Cam. Love is an enigma. You never know when, you never know who, you never know how. It just happens. Thank fuck it's never happened to me. I can't imagine being the pussy-whipped, cloud-floating, emasculated, river-dancing vagina Jake has become. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy he's happy. But I miss the days when he used to walk away when Penelope called, or at the very least, cover his mouth in an attempt to shield me from the "you hang up first, no, you hang up first" bullshit banter between the two of them. It gave me hope that my friend still had his balls. But it's been 3 months since he confessed his love to his woman in a bar somewhere down in Mississippi. Now, he doesn't even try to be a man. And I'm pretty fucking sure if he does still have any balls, they're not hanging below his dick. They're tucked neatly inside Penelope's purse so she can take them out and squeeze them whenever she feels the need to remind him who's in charge. Shit's gotten so bad that I look forward to the days when they fight. Like today. For fuck's sakes, Penelope, I said no. In the quiet of the car, I can hear her response clearly through the phone. You have plenty of money. It's not like you're poor. No, I'm not poor, because I go to work every day. And I do have plenty of money. But I won't if you keep trying to give it away. If I don't make good on my promise to God, and he makes me die a horrible death, that's on you. Until then, me and my vagina will be in the guest room. Don't say vagina. He stares down at his phone. She fucking hung up on me. Imagine that. She claimed she made a deal with God, and now she has to give money to charity. My money. And she thinks everyone is a charity case. Right now, she's trying to give one of my Rolexes to Alfred. You have any idea how much I pay that old man? Trust me, he can buy his own fucking Rolex. So did she give him the Rolex? He sighs. Probably. I laugh. As much as I'd hate to deal with a girl like Penelope on a regular basis, I can't deny that she's perfect for Jake. He needed someone to ground him. She needed someone to love her. The two of them could play the leading roles in one of those boy-meets-girl, love-at-first-sight, romance-novel-turn-movie. The car comes to a stop in front of Jake's apartment all too soon. I'm not looking forward to entertaining myself while he spends the next 5 minutes fighting with Penelope, and then the next hour having makeup sex. But we have business to handle this evening that can't wait. Or else I'd let him go in alone and find my own woman to piss off, just so I could fuck her until she forgot why she was mad in the first place. I'm going to propose. My hand stills on the door as Jake pulls something from his pocket. When he opens the velvet box in his hand, I have to squint against the light reflecting off the biggest goddamn rock I've ever seen. I lift a brow and meet his gaze. You sure about this? Never been more sure about anything in my life. He doesn't look the least bit anxious. There's no room for uncertainty in his eyes, because those motherfuckers are just brimming with love. And as much as it pains me to admit it, I couldn't be more proud for him. I lean in to give him one of those one-armed man hugs. Congratulations, man. You'll be my best man? I pull back and smirk at him. Planning the wedding already, are we? What next? You gonna ask me for a tampon or to braid your hair? Fuck you. Grinning, like a man in love. He snaps the box closed and tucks it inside his jacket. Yeah, I'll be your best man. If she says yes. She'll say yes. You never know. Cam. He levels me with a look. We're talking about Penelope. She's been planning our wedding since she broke into my house. I'm still laughing at that when the door opens and Alfred greets us. My eyes fall to the Rolex on his wrist, and I laugh harder. The noise attracts the attention of a woman as she walks out of the lobby. She bats her lashes, and I give her a once-over. She's everything I look for in a woman. Blonde, tall, sexy, flirty, confident. I give her my sideways smile, the ladies call irresistible. When she licks her lips, I know I can have her if I want her. But the look of disapproval I get from Jake distracts me, and before I can get her number, she's gone. What? You need to settle down. I stare at him. Are you fucking with me right now? No, Cam, I'm not. You're 27. It's time. And you're 30. I clap him on the shoulder as we step inside the elevator. Which means I have 3 years left of doing who and whatever I want before I offer my balls to a woman. The same woman. For the rest of my life. He smiles. When you find the right woman, it'll be worth it. You've been watching Oprah. Or Dr. Phil. When he doesn't confirm or deny, I narrow my eyes at him. You have, haven't you? He mumbles something I can't understand. What was that? I said, I don't watch that shit. Not even Ellen? Hell, I watch Ellen. He shoots me a bewildered look. I shrug. She's funny. Who are you? Your best man. If she says yes. Would you shut up? She'll say yes.
Who'll say yes?
We both turn to find Penelope standing outside the elevator door, arms loaded with what appears to be Jake's suits. Are those my clothes?
Say yes to what?
Penelope, are those my clothes?
Jake, who are you asking a question?
Are you kicking me out of my own house?
Are you asking me to marry you?
For fuck's sake.
Yes! Yes! I'll marry you!
Penelope drops the clothes and leaps into Jake's arms. If he was mad about her ruining his proposal, he's over it. Because he's kissing her back with just as much fervor and heat as she's giving. So much that I look away to give them some privacy. And that's when I see her. Waves of black hair. Porcelain skin. Petite. Curvy. Shy. And looking up at me beneath long, dark lashes are two crystal gray-blue eyes that have my cock pounding in my jeans as hard as my heart pounds in my chest. She's everything I don't look for in a woman. Everything perfect I've never noticed. I don't know when I've ever seen someone that's captivated me as much as she has. I don't know how she does it.